They began in 2006 and met through an exhibition in Milan where the individual artists were showing their own work and then decided to become a collective, which sometimes expands and contracts but is principally three members, and two of them are here tonight with us. What else do I need to say before I turn this over? At present, they are based in Milano and also in Berlin. And tonight they'll talk about their themes, how they work, how they divide up the labor, how they approach, and maybe even how they fund some of their projects. And after their presentation, they'll take questions. So please welcome Roberto Toroni and Maria Mantegna, who's not feeling so great tonight and who asked that for questions you speak slowly and clearly, but we'll make sure she understands your question one way or the other. Their third member is Marco Forni, who's not here tonight, but they will be able to show you how he fits into their projects. Platform.
Thanks for coming. We enjoy very much to be here in Washington. We apologize to you a little bit because our English is not so fluent, but we hope... But we hope you can understand what we mean. And we apologize also to you for Anna Maria because she became ill yesterday and now she's with fever. So what we wanted to do is just to speak a little bit about our work in general, and so our deals with, and then to see one after the other five of our last works, which are not very long videos, but more or less between 6 and 8 minutes each, and then maybe after seeing the video works, to speak a little bit about other more particular issues of our work, and then if you have some question, we are very much, it's our pleasure to answer. Well, Flatiron, like as Kelly Gordon said before, was born in 2006, and we started just like an experiment for ourselves, because we used to work with a singular work, so alone in a way, but our aim, the aim of that time of me and Anna Maria, and at that time Giuseppe was the third one, was to start into collaborating, because we wanted to do something that was personal and not completely personal, so in a way, so it's just to verify our thinking into connecting it with the thinkings of the other two artists. And so we started with one work that traveled around because it was a mobile installation, and then we decided to work together for all the time. So I would like to say something about our attempt into making art and into connecting with a general idea that we have about creation. That means that what I'm going to say is, I think, valid also for musicians, I think, or writers or philosophers. That means that we act between doubt and certainty, and we want to verify all the time with our work the doubt and the certainty of the moment, and we focus this on the let me say the narrow necks between possible and impossible. So what the possible can create and what the impossible can instead verify of this. And this kind of work deals very much with landscape. And this from 2008, so tonight we can see the first video was the first of this general intention of working on landscape for many reasons, because we think that in a way landscape is the whole of the possibilities we have to meet nature, and that means that we involve gaze and correspondence and imagination, and that means that is something related with watching, and but also with the subjective approach to this, and imagination is something which destroy the two other things in a way, and so becomes more objective. And this because at a first glance everything is simple in the landscape, but after gazing it everything becomes complex. In a way, landscape, if I can say something like a new word, is for us a simplexity. So it's a conjunction of the two. And then this belongs with the other wholeness that landscape is for us, that is the all of the complexity of our time, of our age. And I like very much, we are fascinated from a syntagma in English that is seeing through, because we think that in this term there is just the watching and the knowing and the understanding, and this is fantastic, because when you gaze the landscape, you have both the things, but what you have is something something that give to you some question also about reality. And this is the third thing very important for us into working with the landscape and on landscape, because the question is what is reality? And this is a very simple question, very old question, because all the philosophy from a very long time ago has a question like this, but every time you can reconsider this, what is the center of our doubtness into working is that sometimes for us reality is something, and maybe after a while is something else. So is we haven't, and this is a very much different from the attitude of a philosopher. We haven't a certainty on what is reality, and landscape give us the possibility of questioning this. And for example, the center of what reality is what we think about possible and impossible, possibility and impossibility. And sometimes I think in our work, maybe I hope that is quite clear in some works of tonight, we think that impossible doesn't exist, that only possible exists, that what we define impossible instead is the virtual part of the possibility. But sometimes we think that instead possible and impossible is something that you give to yourself, because our action as artists is just to create our own impossibilities, at the same time to create the possible of the moment. And so this kind of thinkings are related to many other questions and many other issues, for example, sound, time, and place, and whatever. And but I don't want to give too many things, and I don't want to be so boring, so maybe the best is to see the five video works, and after maybe to say something more and then to speak together with you. I hope you can enjoy, and thanks. Better maybe just to point in a more precise way. And what we think is that many times reality which concerns us doesn't involve the way the things are, so much as the possibility they might always be other size. And that means that what we watch and the time in which we watch is not exactly what we think in a general way, because we have, for example, two different approaches to the time. The time of our experience, that is with the past, present, and future. But the time, the physical time instead is completely different, because the physics after Albert Einstein doesn't exclude completely the present time, and so what we want to in every work show is exactly something that sometimes is related to our experience time, and the physical time, and that for reality, for example, we don't think that is so important to think about contradictions, because we want to show just collisions or conflicts or tensions, but not contradictions, because this is an approach that is a dialectical in a way, and is not anymore so interesting for us, because the reality is more complex in a way. And so this coming is like a needle. Our thinking in every work is like a needle in the sewing machine. When it goes to the top, it doesn't touch, and just is going to the bottom, and vice versa, and vice versa. And so this is our intention into having something that is all the time in a doubt condition. And another thing is about the totality and the complexity is that we are very much interested, and I think it's possible to see in more than one work that we have shown tonight, that the is more interesting the sum of every part of the totality than the totality for itself. And so we start from elements, and we put together elements coming from other situations, and we create a continuous sum of these elements, and we create a new kind of vision. I think we aim at leading to a new vision. This is very important for us. Another important thing is that we don't use synthetic images. What you have seen is completely real, for what we can think about real, obviously, but this is something like a circular thinking. But what generally we think about reality is exactly what we shoot. And so there is no special effects. We just use editing inside the, and so we are very much interested into editing inside the same clip instead of editing one clip after the other. And this means that there is no 3D animation, there is nothing of this. So all the parts and every elements, for example, of the fourth video, A Place to Come, that is 80 layers different layers, and we have shot in something like 300 kilometers, and one tree here and another tree maybe just beyond the first one is shot 200 kilometers far away. And this is what we think about the most interesting aspect of the dissociation instead of association, and it's something like the music, the spectral music, you know, when you use the deepness of the spectre of the sound of each sound, and not just the totality of all the composition. And yes, I think, well, I can say just two words about the importance of sound, because I was speaking about music, and also for the sound we have all the time a different kind of approach, because the sound can be concrete or notated, hyperreal or stylized, or you know, in every work is completely different, and also this creates different definitions of what you see, because for example in the first one for us it was very, very important that the sound was punctual, so that means you hear the noise, for example, of the wings of the birds, like in 3 centimeters far away from the wings, and instead you see in a general vision. So this kind is what I said before about the dissociation. And so the last one is the first work in which we have used the notated and so recorded music, but the music has been changed completely by the dripping of the rain and the softness of the snow and whatever. And so also that notated music in a way is concrete, so it's something that is really ambiguous in a way. I don't know if I mean, I don't want to. It's always a problem when you speak in a different language to be boring for the audience, and so I don't like to be boring. So if maybe it's better if there is
I have a question, which is, is any of the group or the people that you work with, did they study painting? And the reason, I have 2 reasons for asking. One is that there is always such a classical relationship, consistent relationship between foreground, midground, background, which usually film is known for being able to sort of, you know, manipulate. But it has a painterly quality. And the second is to address your question of time, which is when I look at your work, I also look at it in the way that I look at painting. Because of the beauty and because of this construct, it's sort of a signal to me to look at it in a slightly different way than many moving image works that I see. And it also reminds me of somebody asked me what I look for in a work, and I said, I'm looking for something that makes me forget the price of bread for an hour. And everything I always see that you do totally puts those things away and makes me within whatever it is that I'm observing that you created. So my first question is about painting, and my second question is, what are you all working on now that is next?
Well, about the painting, we think Two different things. One is that there is a relationship, very strong relationship, with some paintings of the past. And for example, the first one not only was shot in the same area in which Lorenzo Lotto lived, but the landscape is quite the same of that time, because it's quite well, the houses are maybe built up 50 years ago, but the condition of the landscape, so the disposition of the landscape is quite the same of that time. And so this is something, also the construction with a fixed perspective, with a fixed camera, is something related to that kind of painting, historical Italian painting. And so there is a strict relationship with this. But there is another that is, I think that we and the painters are in the same condition, that as for the painters, the canvases are not, never, I think, empty or white. Also for us, our hard disk is not blank, because as the canvases of the for the painters, also for us, for our hard disk, is full of pre-existent and persistent views, and is covered by a lot of commonplaces. So the first work that we do into making every work is just to clean, to reduce, well, sometimes to tear into pieces something of the past, but this because we want to lead to a new vision, like I said before. And so this is, I think, the same condition of the painter. I mean, of a painter who can think about this. And about the new work, we are working now on three different projects, and one is a very long time ago project, because it's very hard to find funds, well, in Italy absolutely, but I think in Europe generally. And now finally we have found the funds to realize, and is a project using a whole orchestra of more than 100 elements going to the landscape in a countryside, and is a project with two versions. One is for screening and one is for installation, so it's a multi-channel, the second one, and just one channel the first one. But we shoot in both cases, we shoot with three cameras, and using the three cameras in a manner that make possible the disappearing through the movement of the musicians, the disappearing of the people, of the musicians themselves. And so there is a work about the the invisible and visible quality of the landscape. And in a way is something very related to another group of painters that was the Romantic painters, of the German Romantic painters, so Runge, Carus, and the very famous Caspar David Friedrich. Also they were very much involved into this attitude that we like very much. That is not a sentimentalistic attitude like normally people think about the Romantic. Is absolutely conceptual in a way, because they wanted to give visibility to the invisibility. And the second project instead is a project that we'll realize in Milan, and is a project all shot inside a bus of so inside the city, but watching to the landscape outside in different manners. And we will shoot with 12 cameras inside the same bus, and so very, very, very small camera. Well, and because of for the dimension of the bus, and this will be a three-channel installation. Piece, and then the third one instead is a project in which we use the light also outside and the screen, and disturbing or intensifying the light of the image that we have shot. So it's something like a speech between a set of light and the screen, and the speech is just a light speech. It's not it's without word, and so is something like a commentary or a storytelling through light, and in an interrelationship with the images that we shoot. And this will be realized in a new exhibition in Berlin. And then we have other projects, but not exactly with shoot, because we use also to do sculptures coming from the video. It's a very particular work, because we use all the variations and irregularities, regularities, singularities of the video work, and we transfer this, we transform this into a sculpture piece, and using the sculpture matter, that means, for example, glass or whatever, and so we have started making this work with A Place to Come. So every after A Place to Come, every work has a development also in a sculptural way of the work. That is not something like a didascalic work or a coming from video work in a didascalic way. It's just something going in a parallel way. And so for us it's very important, because we don't want to do something that is the typical frame and everything just for the market, but we are interested into making objects that are an intention of being and of living for itself, for themselves. So sorry. I don't know if I have.
I have two questions. What I'm just curious, what is the nature of the collaborative relationship between the three of you or more of you as you work together? Are there certain tasks that each of you specialize in? Is it a full collaboration from beginning to end? And my other question is having to do with language. I'm so struck by the way you edit the sound. In particular, and just the way you describe how it helps to shape our vision watching the video. And in the case of the music soundtrack, as well as the narration, and in particular with the voiceover and how that's directing our how we're looking and our understanding of action, I wonder how you felt about the subtitles, and if the subtitles were something that is inherent to the work, or something that is only when it's shown in an Anglophone country, and that also seemed like an interesting relationship for me as a viewer, not understanding Italian, but the connection between the oral and the reading experience, and then watching the action.
So, for the first question about how we work together, we haven't defined labor inside the collective. I mean, everybody makes something. That means that obviously every work comes from an idea of one of the three. This is normal. I mean is that all together have the same ideas, it would be fantastic, but it didn't happen till now. The person changes, so there isn't like in a leadership, typical leadership of a group in which there is one person and then the other just collaborating. In our case, instead, is sometimes the work comes, the idea comes from one, and the other work comes from the other, and so on. And at that time, the idea changes completely from the beginning till the end of the realization. So in a way, it's just something like this coming from one person. Then all the work is a collective work in which the original idea changes continuously till really the end, till the last minute. And for the other two questions about the sound and the music and instead of the subtitles. The sound, and the music, like I said before, is attracted in a completely different manner from a work to another one, when we approached the notated music, like in the last one, and it will be the same in the new project I spoke about before. So the orchestra piece in the landscape. We are interested into creating a dissociation of the music in a way. We are not so much interested into having also when he's notated the music to have that like a soundtrack. We think that is a very important element, the sound for us, and also when is a beautiful notated music like the Ravel Quartet, we like to intervene on it and to create something that is related to the general project, so not only to give a fantastic or beautiful and in a sentimental way music piece, just to say, oh, fantastic, it's great. And for the subtitles, it's a very interesting question, because I think now if we say just in a very rash way, if I give you an answer in a rash way, say no, the subtitles are not so important as a part of, it's just a condition to make possible for people outside Italy, that means more or less the 99.9% of all over the world, to understand what we say. But I think it's interesting, because every time that I see, and I don't know if Anna Maria is agree, is a part of the, because it translates also the dislocation, like in the first one. No? So you hear, and you have exactly something that is not graphic, but is something like a dislocation of what you hear in a space that is the watching space. So the screen. So I can, as a matter of fact, I can say yes. The subtitles are really a part of the work, not only a substitute to something else to make possible the comprehension of or something like that. Yeah.
How much fighting is there?
How much?
Fighting.
Well, really a lot. Sometimes too much. When I spoke before about the tearing into pieces, I especially on ourselves. Yes, it's a very hard way. But yeah. Oh, I don't know.
It reminded me of classical realism in literature, currently in the Americas, which I haven't seen in Europe. Is anyone thinking of this? Or
thinking about what?
Magical realism.
Yeah.
Happening in South America and the U.S. Is this being thought of at all?
Well, not really. I mean, not with declared intention. But I think it's very interesting, the approach especially of that. But it's not exactly what we suppose to do exactly. But it's absolutely interesting for us.
How much of a story is outlined before you start shooting, and how much is post shooting?
Yeah, you mean in a determined or generally?
Generally. some seem like there's more of a script or story before.
Yeah.
Some seem like they form as it went along.
Yeah. this is a very short question, but it's a very very long story about this, because the storytelling is a big problem for us. I mean, for everybody, I think, but for us, I'm sure. Because the starting point is just to put out the storytelling in a way. So just to make something that is not exactly the storytelling storytelling driven, no? But during the work, it becomes a necessity, in a way, not only a contingency, but also a necessity to tell story, in a way, or to have this problem of the storytelling. I mean, you can say also, oh, I don't care, but you have to compare yourself with this kind of thing. And so it depends from, I asked for a determined or in general, because in some work, like the second one, the 50, yes, in that case, the work itself is on the narration, because we think that the germ of storytelling is repetition. And because it's normal when you remember, you recognize and you repeat in a way, you know, you repeat the time. And so so in that case, the storytelling is just the theme for itself of the video, but we didn't want to realize actions which are really a story for themselves. I don't know if it's clear. I mean, because this is something like a very is a smart way to go out. No, it's just okay. I make a fantastic story with a metaphor and whatever. So we didn't want to do this, and so we wanted just to make tracks. So the action, so the storytelling is. In fact, is a very, very physical and geometrical. So just the people moving and trying to repeat the same action. So it's just a thinking attitude, and just to repeat the same action, exactly the same action from the first shot that was during the dawn. To the second that was on midday, to the third one that was on the sunset, and to the fourth one that was in midnight. So in that case, the storytelling was something like in Georges Perec literature, you know, so something that is continuously reflecting on itself, no? But is, and sometimes it's not a storytelling, no? You know? But this is particular, is a particular work, I mean, because in the other that we have shown tonight, the story, for example, the first one, the storytelling was a way to show movement around. So you could choose N stories, but every story of these N stories had to be important for the movement of the people, you know. And in the other, like a place to come, instead the storytelling is just what happened, and then I invert the time, the normal experience time that is past, present, and future, and so you move. But this is something that is not a completely is a continuous present like we think about the time, but is something that is related to what happens, what is the reality that you see, and what I can put on as a reflection on this. So, and that was also the storytelling, including the paradox, and so on and so on. So what I want to say, I don't want to say of everything, of every video, but it's different. So the storytelling and the timeline of the in our work of the storytelling is just coming from the middle till the end in a very precise way. Before is something that is exactly a general idea, and we don't want to like in a normal screenplay that they use in cinema or also in video, we don't want to canalize. You understand? Canalize? Is possible to say it? Canalize? And we don't want to canalize, to make a channel to go exactly in that way. You know? So at the beginning, we just want to have a spread out of possibilities. And then we close. Sorry.
I wonder, have you ever made these and looked at them in black and white to see how very different in reality and in non-reality?
Well, we haven't thought to do anything of what you have seen tonight in black and white. And this because it's absolutely true that every scholar of the perception can say that obviously color doesn't exist, and so on, black and white can be so and so and so, that we know very well. But we think that anyway, when you have such a complex situation like we have generally in our landscape, black and white can be in a way a trap, because you want to give something like a distance and saying okay, we know that the perception, so and so and so, but black and white is something that is or more documentaristic in a way, or more slick, if you use in a determined way the black and white. But anyway, is something else, and so in this way is a trap, I think. But till now, it doesn't. It's not a general, declaration. It's not a claim. I don't use black and white. That's not true. Maybe we can, but we didn't want in this particular project to do this. I mean, because for this reason that I explained.
Are you using any video game software to render digital images?
Are you using
video game software?
No, no. We just use very normal software that are to edit. We use Edius, that is something like Adobe Premiere, but for us it's better. And we use After Effects to compose it, to make the compositing. And that's it. We just use this because we don't use synthetic images and synthetic. So we don't use 3D Max or whatever because we just shoot reality in a way.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to you. And thanks a lot.